Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it, all that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it, all that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. Again, we have a wonderful guest that I am so excited to have her tell her story so that we can learn. There's some of us that are older and have entered into the phase that they have called retirement and baby boomers and all that type stuff. And so I'm one of them. And Sharon is known as the Queen of Courage. And so I'm going to have her introduce herself and to all of the listeners, and she's going to tell you where she is today. And then, as usual, we'll go back and get her story. Sharon, welcome to Threads of Enlightenment.
Thank you, Ken. What a honor to be here today. And it sounds like your audience is the perfect group of people I want to talk to, because I want to impact 10% of the boomers, and they're around the world now. So this reaches out far, and that delights me. I have been I've been a behavioral scientist. I got a master's degree in behavioral science. My career didn't really allow me to use it that much until the very end, but I did work in corporate America. Worked for IBM a bit, and GTE, the phone company, and the post office. I had a variety of jobs, but sometimes that's part of what happens when you try to keep the economic situations fluctuate, and you have to reboot a little bit, reinvent yourself.
Yes.
So I, when I retired a few years ago, 2016, I retired from Boeing, and I started a coaching school right at the same time, because you need something else to go to when you make a big transition. And as a behavioral scientist, those transitions, besides, you know, the financial planning is just part of it. There's a whole other side of your health and family and purpose that enters into the arena when you're retired, and they all interact. When one changes, it affects the other. But I am here to help you both transition mentally and spiritually, emotionally, socially, and especially to find purpose. Because when I retired, the coaching school that I went to, the first thing they taught us was to write an essence statement. And like, it tells me who I am on the inside. And nobody helps us write a research paper on who we are on the inside. You know, I think God tries to teach us that a little bit, but once I learned my essence statement, it's like I felt a whole new level of confidence, because now I could make choices based on my being inner directed, my DNA that was given to me. And excellent. So every day feels valuable when I come from there. And my essence statement starts with, I am precious jewel of wisdom. And you'll see with my, I make these art blocks, and are my wisdom that I share with people. They're made out of fabric. Mm-hmm. So we'll share some more of those.
Excellent. Excellent. You have to give me some of that, and so that I can put it out so that people can get a chance to see it and get their hands on it if you have access to give it to them. So you came up with your mission as to who you are. Your inner searching provided you with all the data that you collected. And you mentioned that you felt empowered to start. So how did you begin to, you know, move from going into your class and then getting your clients and then coming up with the book, all of these different things? How did you move from, okay, I've written this down, I'm in class right now, but what do I do? So how did you do?
Yeah, well, it was kind of interesting. The first day of class, I told them a story about how I was going to wear this hat to a birthday party for my friend the next weekend.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's rather bodacious, but they actually invited me to bring it to class. And
nice.
So the next day I took not only one hat, I took like six hats with me. And I think there must have been a kind of a subconscious message there about wanting to be seen. Mm-hmm. Now, so in between each of the breaks, I would put on a different hat. So when people came back from the break, here I'm sporting this new hat. And it wasn't until maybe 6-8 months later that I came into class back from lunch, and I stomped my foot and I slapped the desk and I said, it's not okay to be invisible. Where did that come from? It was like it was spontaneous. And I realized through that was my big transformation process starting, because I'm the middle of five, and being the middle of anything, you tend to be invisible. Yeah. And I was the only one that went to college, and but I loved to learn, and that made me very different in my family. But also being invisible in my family was actually a safe thing, because there was sexual abuse going on. And I didn't want to rock the boat. So I tried to be as obedient and not seen as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, you know, there's a little girl inside that wants to be affirmed and supported. And I at times actually got ridiculed. So even throughout my career, I didn't feel all that visible. I was applied myself. I was a good employee and easy to get along with. I was a good listener, but it wasn't until right after retiring, I watched a webinar from the UK. This Andy Shaw, I think his name was. He was doing a webinar on mental strength. Well, that's a good thing. And he said, well, when you're going into a situation where you're needing more confidence and a little more, I've got this kind of feeling, he said, well, bring to memory something that gives you a warm memory. And he gave an example of flying his 4-year-old son in an airplane that he was flying. And so it's a picture of his son in the back seat, and he felt so good about being able to have learned to fly to take his son on a ride. And I thought, well, why just have one more warm memory? So over the next 2-3 weeks, I listed 6 or 8, 10 things that brought me warm memories. And I was shocked that half of them were in front of people. What?
Wow.
Did I do the wrong career? You know, was I supposed to be in front of people? It was a new insight in hearing retired, you know?
Yeah.
But it gave me some confidence to kind of, what if that was what was meant for me? And what if now was the time to step into that? Yeah.
Hmm. So then the emotional trauma that you suffered as a girl within the family unit, it's after you retired, did you begin to truly face these things, or how was that thread through your life? How did you begin to navigate from a young girl to a woman that is retiring? How did you manage it? Even within the corporate America field, how did you manage the abuse in your relationships?
Well, that's a good question, Ken, because when I started my master's program, they make you face those dark days. And that whole recovery process of getting past the memories, the shaming, the yearning for, you know, that parental support and honor and pride. You know, my folks never went to my graduations. I graduated from three different schools, you know, 2-year, 4-year, and then my master's. And I don't know that it wasn't support. Maybe it just was wrong timing, or maybe it was, who knows? But, you know, it kind of makes you yearn for people that that are but okay. And I remember I remember being in church a couple times where I felt like my spirit was so fragile. I felt if anybody came up behind me and said boo, that I would crumble. Sometimes hug people so I could get a hug.
And was this, and your siblings, did you guys united together and walk each other through? Or was it just, as you say, you stayed within your lane, not to be seen, and outside of your lane was all the chaos going in? Or were you able as a group from time to time just to hold each other and walk each other through, or was just stay in your lane?
Well, mostly staying in my lane, but I do remember when I was going through my master's program, I wrote my sister, who was the main victim. She had become a Jehovah's Witness, and so her letters were filled with all kinds of Jehovah's Witness stuff and scripture and whatever. And I said, I want you to honor the fact that I have a faith. But I would like you to talk to me about your relationship with our dad. And I gave her the gift of opening Pandora's box. And she told me 2 or 3 stories that, of course, I'd rather not have heard. And later, my brother called me one Saturday, I think it was. The Stevie Wonder song, "I Just Called to Say I Love You," he did that several times. So that means a lot to me. But he called me one day, and we talked extensively. And he says, "I'm starting to understand what it was like to be a woman, a girl in our family." That's powerful words.
Powerful,
Because my sister did go on to have a baby by my dad, and for him to recognize that was just real phenomenal. So the fact that he got it, you know, was impressive and a gift in itself. But as far as work goes, I was always pretty capable. I think when I was going through my recovery, I was probably more quiet. But I did do Toastmasters. I did do Dale Carnegie course. So that helped me. In fact, a couple of those warm memories came from that, you know, speaking Dale Carnegie and Toastmasters. So anyway.
I'm familiar with Dale Carnegie. I've read his tapes and his books and all that type of stuff. He helped me in reading a lot of his things, helped me out to form my path in my early age with professional life. And so I would listen to a lot of his stuff, and I was able to gain a lot of wisdom and courage from listening to Dale Carnegie's
Don't stuff. Complain, so, criticize, or condemn, right?
Pretty much. So how did you come about to be known as the Queen of Courage? Where did that come from?
Well, it just is rather recent. I've been doing, today I did my 50th Instagram of Queen of Courage. Mm-hmm. I recently, since the end of May, I took a course from Forbes Riley. Now, I highly mm-hmm. recommend Forbes. In fact, I was on a radio program with her yesterday, and we had mm-hmm. a magical moment. It was powerful, and it seemed like a God wink moment, because
nice.
It left Forbes speechless, and she's quite the talker. But she being in her class, Pitch Like a Pro, mm-hmm. she asked all of us, what are we known for? Mm-hmm. And so when she asked me, I thought, well, my book is Fresh Courage in Retirement. My podcast Excellent. Was Fresh Courage. So I'm the Queen of Courage. I got the idea from a Hallmark movie. I'm a big Hallmark movie fan. And one of A Summer of Love was the name of the show. And they mm-hmm. said, when you come back from vacation, you often go home with fresh courage. I thought, yeah, boy, that's you. You come home with more gumption when you're ready to go back to work after a vacation. So I picked it up from that movie line, "Fresh Courage."
Coming nice.
Home from, you know, as you come home from vacation.
Excellent. So now you are retired, and you had mentioned that one of your mentors, maybe was it that told you that. What do you have? Make sure you have something line up for the next phase. And so how did you come about making the decision to deal with the retirees since you were a new one? So how did it come about to where you say, you know what? I want to focus on this. How did that come about?
Well, oftentimes we're finding that coaches are most effective when we come from our own experience. Just mm-hmm. like you being a pastor, you probably often was preaching from your own where you are in life. So being a retiree yes. and that there's 76 million of us, I've always had a yeah. hot button for potential. I mean, I can remember a year from a very young age saying, you know, if I have to stand before God and say, you know, some of that talent you gave me, I buried it. Mm-hmm. Wrong answer. And I don't want that for anybody else. That's my biggest yeah. why. Because I think our purpose and our destiny is part of the mystery of life that we're here to find. And
yes.
And then I read this book, What Retirees Want. And they mm-hmm. say that about 30% of the people struggle knowing what their purpose is. Now, this book isn't wow. light reading because he's quite the researcher, but he does mm-hmm. give a lot of ideas as to how boomers could be better served. So if you're wanting some ideas about what is lacking that could be a market for boomers, I could give you some hints because he puts nuggets of that in the book. But I...
Awesome.
I really want people to, our world would be better if everybody was living from their essence and from their purpose. There would be a lot of solutions that, to the people that are feeling lonely or feeling isolated or where do I mm-hmm. belong? I want to help people know they fit in. There's a nugget of gold inside everybody.
Everyone. I have a little nugget that I have in my book. Knowing your purpose will make you purposeful. And so a lot of people have died without knowing their purpose. And it is painful to see that. And here at Threads, my hope is that as we begin to do our conversation and we talk to each other and really share, that people would begin to find their purpose. And usually, I remember my children, I would tell them when they were young men, I would say to them, if you believe your purpose is to be a garbage man, be the best. And then find out, how can I take the garbage industry to the next level? Do what it is, because I believe that when you live from that place, Sharon, that work, the sting of work, the sting of burnout, all those things are non-existent if you love what you do, because you will be doing it for 24 hours, 25 hours if we had it. And people would look at you and go, wow, you've been doing this for so long. Aren't you tired? And you're going to look at them and say, oh, wow, I've been here this long. There you go. Actually, read that to the people.
I want them to.
Yes, it does. It really does. And so tell them about how did it work out in your life?
Well, let me first say, passion lights a spark in all of us. I often tie this to being in a restaurant and you see a waiter that has, you know, seems to be enjoying their job and they're doing it so good. It's like their job fits them like a glove.
Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. What the story about these for me is, I love sewing, I love color, mm-hmm. and I love words of wisdom. And they all come together in this little art
yes.
block.
So
in my book, Fresh Courage in Retirement, I have these art blocks scattered throughout my book because you know, there's a way that our brain processes things that are beautiful.
Yes.
Versus just words in a different part of our head. I've never had anybody explain it to me, but it seems to sink in better. Right?
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, so, you have the visual folks that need that.
Yeah, and here's
let your feet follow your heart. Excellent.
That's a tough one. And daily do something that
brings you happiness, health, and wealth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You have to give me, I'm going to ask you to provide some pictures of those things. We're going to put it up at the podcast. We're going to put it at the blog. We'll put it all over, Sharon, so that people can see the wonderful work that you do and the wisdom that you have on those cards and so forth. And so her dream is to work with educating the retirees. And as she mentioned, they have tallied up that it's 76 million. And I think this year, the census show that there's 73 million become baby boomers. And I think it's by 2030, I believe, where all the baby boomers would be 65 and over. So that's a giant market. And you want to meet a small fraction of that, which is a beautiful dream that I think, and that you can help them get to all the different levels. You had put up earlier certain areas that that you wanted to talk about. Can you, can you talk and educate us and give us some additional information on each one of those and how we can take some of that and apply it in our lives?
Well, this is the graphic I kind of made up for instructing with referral partners, such as financial planners and wealth managers, because they've been taught to just focus on the money aspect. And mm-hmm. Yes, it's very important that we focus on that. But when our health changes in retirement, that changes a lot of plans. When our family mm-hmm. moves, you know, clear across the country and we want to be near the grandkids, that changes a lot of plans. Mm-hmm. And if you have a purpose or not have a purpose. I think purpose helps us live longer. I intend to live to 100. I don't know about you, Ken. You know, this is not a short-term gig for me. I'm planning the long haul. So, but it's amazing when you no longer have a business card, you no longer have a team of colleagues to work with. You don't have a task to do. You don't have a reason to get out of bed in the morning. life changes a lot.
Yes.
And my book is full of ideas, both baby steps and giant leaps. I give quite a breadth of things that that people can do. I have movies and books and websites. The podcast idea that are on my effortlessvitality.org website. One of the favorite people I interviewed was a local lady here that decided to do community service projects around the world. And she planned to be in a month in 12 different countries. And she wound up feeding baby lions, riding elephants, being at a baboon sanctuary. And she wound up writing the book, Smiling at the World. So it's now become something called voluntourism. I interviewed a guy with that worked for Habitat. And Habitat has where you can take your motorhome and go work a gig, providing your own room and board, and sort of be on vacation. And yet, you know, bringing your hotel with you, your bed with you. So I love to think about possibilities, and I want retirees to be curious again. You know, a three-year-old, if they want to figure out how to open that door or that cabinet or climb the stairs, they will figure it out. And,
definitely.
Once you become curious, it changes your possibilities a lot.
Excellent. I believe in an open mind. I think an open mind keeps us young because we want to learn. We want to investigate. This is a wonderful, big world, as much as small as they say. It's big in the things that need to be discovered. And you discovered them from a conversation that you have with someone. You can discover that from a book, from a good show. So once you are open-minded, you would be amazed at who comes your way, what comes your way, how fast it comes your way. And so I've met so many people that are closed-minded and stagnated in their growth. And it's a sad, painful thing to look because it even manifests in their faces, Sharon. And it's just incredible. But when you meet someone that's living and excited, you see this beaming joy. And not every time, you know, when it's easy, it's also they have this joy on their face when they're going through hard times because they know they're alive and that there's an answer. And so I see on your website, you talk about the one that you mentioned, Effortless Vitality. I see that you are inviting people to come and get some of those answers to some of those incident that approach in their lifetime. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a free offer, an ebook called Three Tips to Create a Life After Retirement. And on my new, I also have one, Building Social Health. That is all the action items that I have included in Chapter 3. I just put it into a two or three page handout that people can also get. So my book launches September 14, and it is now on Amazon as a pre-order.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll have a Kindle version up about the Kindle version will be up on the 14th and the paper copy will be available just a few days after that.
Excellent. I'm going to put all that information in so that they can have access to that so that everyone can have access. And I encourage all the listeners to go get a copy so that especially those that are heading to retirement ages, which is a lot of you. Yeah, I want the young people to get it as well so that you can prepare for when you come our way. And I'm going to put all of your information. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, Ken, something I've kind of woke up to in the last couple weeks is that I drove Lyft for a year, and I was surprised at how many young people said, my parents need to hear this. And sometimes we're so close to our what we're going through that our kids can see us being stuck quicker than we can.
Yeah.
So I have a new message now for the younger generation to say, if you see your dad or mom bouncing off the walls and don't know what they do to do with themselves and are not getting out of the house and are getting depressed, then be kind enough to ask them, how do you feel about retirement? And give them some ideas or resource like this book, because we might be slow in admitting we need help.
Well, I think they say the baby boomer population is somewhat hard-headed in trying to accept things because we've done it on our own, you know. And so we, I have a friend of mine told me, he says, we have a tendency of circling around in our craziness that we don't know that we're crazy. It takes someone else to see that we're we're circling in our craziness to point it out to us so that we can realize that we are crazy and we need some help. I thought that was a beautiful explanation of some of the things that we happen to do in our lives. So, but I'm so excited. I'm going to put all of this thing together and make sure that the listeners at Threads of Enlightenment get a chance to experience. And I'm going to let the young kids, I'm going to say it now to the young folks, all the young people that are listening to Threads, to get a copy of the book to your parents and your grandparents and any friends, parents that you can do as gifts and whatever. Let them know, and so you guys can pick up all of the information that Sharon provides and assist them in the process where they can learn some additional wisdom as they decide to, as they come closer to the retirement age.
Last closing thought I have, Ken, is just recently I have a couple of plants out here on my patio, and it seems like one is constantly dying on me, and it's, you know, plants that aren't growing are dying.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not growing, we're dying. And another crux of boomers that they say in the average retiree spends 48 hours a week in front of TV. That is potential resource I intend to change. I want to engage that latent potential.
There's so much to do, and to make them aware of what there is out there. And it sounds like your book has some of that information, because there's so much to do. And to give up all that time in front of a TV is just unwise, I would say. Especially at that at our age, we need to get out there and explore, because some of those things that we put aside to take care of children, whether it's grandkids as well, and work. I know I read a stat where most of the baby boomers are still working today, you know, and they are. We have a society where we are pushed to the point where you have to work. And so it's really straining, and it puts a number. So when we are at that place where we can retire, I know you should just get out there and do everything that you wanted to do that couldn't do. If it's traveling, if it's reading more books, if it's helping in a library, if it's whatever it is, just get up and do it. And you will, as Sharon said, you're going to live a little longer, because once you put purpose within yourself, You become purposeful. You become more happy. You become excited to live. You'll get up the next day to get into that space where you can talk to the people that you're volunteering with, or a bunch of friends that are traveling. Do a road trip with the boys and get out. Just all the things you wanted to do when you were young. Don't negate it because you're of a certain age. How would you tell them? What would you say, Sharon? Do you agree?
Yes. I often refer people to the movie, The Intern, with Robert De Niro. And,
Yes.
You know, he felt out of place. And yet Chip Conley was another one. He hired on with Airbnb when he was 50, and the owners were like 25, I guess. And so they started calling him the modern elder. And he realized how he learned from the kids, but the kids learned from him totally different things. They needed each other.
Yes, we need each other. And the purpose of Threads of Enlightenment, as I mentioned, is to show everyone, even though we all individually have our own path, but we also have an interdependency of each other, where we share our thoughts, we share our adventures and our lows and highs, so that we can encourage each other for the next stage, and so that we can come out from the space of defeat where we're at. So I'm excited that Sharon is able to come by. And Sharon, I'm going to invite you again. Hopefully you would come when your book becomes published and they're out there. Maybe you let us know if you're doing any kind of book tours. You could come and talk to us, and we'll send everyone to you so that they can come out and enjoy you.
Well, I put on a singles conference back in the 80s, and gave me a new seed of idea of having regional retiree conventions. And so
that
I might cook
good.
On that idea. And I would like to be an international speaker. So invite me.
Oh, definitely. And there you go. You could come and travel all over the place doing that. So there is another adventure that you can begin. So I'm going to invite you, and you talk to us again about that. So they'll see if how far you've gone with it. And again, I want to thank you so much for coming to Threads of Enlightenment. And I appreciate what you have done, and that you've spent the time with us to tell us your story, tell us how you came through your pain, how you were able to manifest where you are today, and providing your sites to help the retirees at Effortless Vitality, the books that you have coming, and all of these different things about your Effortless, the free piece that they can get at your site, and all these different things. And guys, I want you to go and buy her book and get a chance to welcome her into the Threads of Enlightenment family. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and have a good evening. Talk to you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. You're welcome. Bye.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are, and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials, to find out who you truly are, and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.